Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Dave McGinnis, Coach Mac, every Friday at 10:15 with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Getting set to travel to Pittsburgh for Titans preseason game number 3. Coach Mac joins us. Chad, you know who Coach Mac knows?
Everyone?
Everybody.
Everyone.
Everybody.
Here's who I'm glad I know, everybody in this room and everybody listening.
That's right.
Let's talk some ball.
Let's do it. What was your approach to the preseason as a head coach, and how much has it changed across the league?
It's changed quite a bit. The issue is your main focus is to get your players healthy to the first game. And so I think every coach's approach is different depending on where their squad is health-wise. You know, as you approach it, as you look at it, also the age of your squad makes a big difference. Whether you've got a really young team that hasn't played much NFL football, whether you've got a more experienced football team with some guys that don't need to play as much NFL football, you know, to get ready to play. I never really subscribed to the fact that you had to play so many snaps, you know, to be ready. But I think you've got to be flexible when you're going in, and that's, you know, clearly the best way to look at it, because things change during training camp. They really do.
We discussed, Chad and I discussed before you walked in, it seems like the younger head coaches are moving away from having to play that dress rehearsal game, quote unquote, where guys come out for the third quarter. I'm just not seeing that. I didn't see that a lot last night.
Well, where at first that mode first started was before you even had free agency. And you had guys on your team, and those guys really didn't do much, but you had longer training camps, and really you use training camp back in, as they say, the day. You use training camp to get in shape. These guys have already been playing. They've had OTAs. They've had this. And plus, again, once you start, you know, when you come to camp, you've got 15 days before your first preseason game. But the end that everybody is looking for is to get their best players healthy to that first game, because that's the end result. You need to get your players trained. And you've got to get your players trained. Everybody understands that. But you've also got to understand, even if, and believe me, there's no more impatient guys than coaches that want to see their players play. But you also have to have some common sense, and also the ability. You've got to protect the players sometimes from themselves getting out there and doing things before they're ready.
It's all about getting the players ready, trained, and keeping them healthy for the regular season, the games that matter. But when you're looking at a preseason game from a coaching standpoint, how good is a preseason game as an evaluation tool,
Chad,
for what you want to see from your guys?
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Chad.
No, you're good.
No, I apologize, Chad.
No need to apologize, Coach. Interrupt me whenever you want. I was done with my thought. I probably threw a few too many words in there.
No,
so
you did not. Hey, look, here's the snaps in a preseason game, and that's why I said on the broadcast last week, even the third and fourth quarter, those are the plays you grind over the most as a coach when you're looking and you're evaluating the next day, the day after, because those are the guys you're really looking to see if they're able to access the information that they've been given, you know, technique-wise, scheme-wise, and then just, you know, competitive-wise, the OTAs, through training camp, through a game. So every snap is important. It really is. Now, I understand, and believe me, all the years I've been doing this, I understand when you look at it, you know, people say, you know, well, this isn't entertaining. This isn't good. Well, really the entertainment value of it, if you really want to dig into it, is watching and seeing those guys that are competing for a job. Because when you start thinking about it, you know, in just a very short time, there are going to be a lot of football players on the street. There are going to be a lot of them on the street. So each one of these things, the preseason games are critical. Just like those two practices that we just had with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Chad, I promise you those coaches are still looking at that tape, because that's important.
Can you make a positive mistake? And what I mean by that is, and I'm watching Hard Knocks and watching the Titans in the preseason, You know, you see the coaches talking about a guy not knowing, maybe not knowing his assignment perfectly, but hustling to the ball or showing some instincts to go do something where you may not be doing exactly what the coaches are asking you in the situation, but yet you did something positive on the play. Can you evaluate that as a coach also?
Absolutely you can, and that's a great observation on your part, because you guys have heard me say before, our listeners have heard me say, a slow, correct decision on defense is wrong because things move so fast, and you can sit there and analyze and paralyze yourself so much, you know, on both sides of the football that you might be correct, but you're late. Okay, so you want to see somebody, you want to see people that are going full speed, because this game happens so fast and at full speed, and then you can tune and tweak it if you see that they're working. And again, a lot of players that come out of college, especially the way offenses are spread out horizontally now, a lot of defense in college right now is there's not a lot of technique. It's a lot of see ball, get ball, because things are coming out so fast, things are spread out so much. And so you still never want to take that away from your players that they have, and then you can refine it. But if you've got somebody that won't go fast and that won't go hard, that's a bigger issue than knowing what to do. I mean, it really is.
Dave McGinnis is in studio with us. So is Paul Koharski. Welcome, PK. Good morning.
Thanks, boys. Dave, going back to kind of the preseason meaning, I'm imagining in your career you were with teams where winning games actually meant something. Didn't mean so much in the locker room or on film. Meant something probably to ownership and the marketing and trying to get a buzz going about a team. That seems, at least, fans seem to have gotten over that. You don't hear much about the record anymore. But there was a time, I know for a fact, talking to Jeff during preseasons here, where Bud wanted to see some W's on the board that would generate some interest.
Yeah, and that's true. That's very true. But I think, and you bring up a very good point there, Paul. I think fans in the NFL now have been educated and sophisticated enough. They see, you know, what the preseason
is. The Browns go 4-0 last year.
Oh yeah, the Browns go 4-0, and how'd that work out for them? You know, close your eyes, tell me what you see. That's how many they won when it was for real. And so, and plus, the thing that happens in preseason games, and I'm talking to our listeners, and I know they know this. I know you guys sitting in here in this studio know this. The inequities of who plays against who in a preseason game. I mean, really seriously, if you really want to win a preseason game, then you sign a third or a fourth quarterback that can run, okay? So I'm serious. He goes back there, sticks his foot in the ground. When everybody else is running around trying to figure out where they are, he takes off running with it, all right? And then throws guys open. You're trying to play, you know, plaster in the backfield. And you know, so you've got to precisely know what you're trying to get out of it. And then again, and fans, I think fans are sophisticated now enough. They know, back to Chad's point, they can tell when guys are playing hard and working at it and going at it. And that's, to me, the evaluation part of it is so critical, because the real games are coming up really fast.
This is an idea that's floated around for years. I understand why it's not feasible. I want you to tell us how not feasible it is. If you're going to play these games, play them backwards. Start the fours and have the ones on the field in the fourth quarter to compete for the final score and put you in a situation where the result is actually interesting. It might change viewership trends too, where you'd want to be watching late instead of early, which might fix something. I'm sure in terms of getting guys stretched and ready, it's just not feasible.
That's all of it. I mean, it's not like it would be impossible. I mean, that wouldn't be impossible, but you wouldn't want your guy standing for three quarters and then, you know, have to stretch him out and then go out there. And then the worst thing that could happen if you were doing that, all somebody has to do is pop something, and then guess what? That idea and you will be going somewhere else.
Coach Mack, were you ever in a situation where you accidentally tied up a preseason game late with an extra point or something? You know what I mean? Did it force overtime?
Look.
Uh-oh.
We were playing at Seattle. Mike Holmgren was the coach. I had a kicker that we had drafted, okay? Gramatica. His rookie year. He had never kicked in the real thing, and so we get down in the fourth quarter, and it's a fourth down, and it's you kick it, he's going to tie it up. If I go for it, we don't make it, we lose. But, I mean, you know, so what? And so You know, I look across the field at home, going to go,
I've got to get this guy ready.
Got to get him some reps.
Go block this.
No, I mean, I can remember, you know, a lot of snaps, most all
did
of them.
Did he hit it?
Oh, yeah, of course he did.
Did Holmgren say anything after?
Oh, yeah, after the game, he looked at me and said, look, I get it, Mac. I understand. I see it. He said, I know what you're having to do. You know, of course, you know, you had, but it's a truth. And so to answer your question, the answer is yes. I didn't do it on purpose, but I need to see my guy kick. And that's the same guy that at the Giants, when we were playing for real, went out there, kicked, and it was a windy day, and Jim Fossil was the head coach of the Giants who had been the coordinator there at the Cardinals with me, and we're playing, and you know, we're trying to get something done, and it was when they could open the back doors in that stadium, and the wind was blowing, and he kicked a 42-yarder into that and made it and jumped up and celebrated, came down, blew his ACL. Yeah, first quarter. And so I'm standing there now, Giant Stadium, with no kicker, none, zero. I'm looking at him walk over there on the bench. I said, can you kick? No, sir. I said, what happened? Trainer comes up, coach, I think he tore his ACL. Okay, great. That's really good. Now we've got 3.5 quarters to play without a kicker. So I start asking, who can kick? Can anybody, anybody, anybody? Screaming down the sidelines right at me, Pat Tillman. He said, Mac, I can kick. And so I made the mistake of questioning him. I said, seriously? And then he let loose with a few words at me. I told you I could. And so he did.
Just extra points?
And did he kick well?
Just extra. He had to kick off, too.
Yeah.
No, he had to kick off, too. Yeah, that's we lost by four because the extra point was an issue. But anyway,
you were going for it.
Don't get me started on stories.
You had to say something more to the kicker at that point. We all remember that celebration. Do you just leave him alone at that point after he?
Well, what was I going to do? The man blew his leg out. I mean, yeah,
after the fact,
I
conversation about the celebration.
Well, look, what can you say? I mean, it's on Google now still. I mean, all you got to do is Google it up.
Yeah, we've all seen it.
No, it's still there. I mean, what else could I say to the man?
You like what you've seen from Matt LaFleur through two preseason games. Tell us what you have noticed from the defensive coordinator standpoint.
Well, here's what I like, and let's not even go with the games first. Let's start with practice. Let's start with training camp because I'm familiar with this offense, and I'm familiar with this offense. First of all, let me go back and say I watched every snap last year that the Rams did offensively in the offseason because I was very familiar with Jared Goff, you know, when he was drafted. I was very familiar with what they did last year, which was tremendous offensively. I mean, that's a tremendous turnaround. And so I just wanted to watch it. I wanted to watch it fundamentally from beginning to end and watch it progress through the season. Watching Matt LaFleur install this in training camp, and we've all stood there together and watched this, and I keep saying this, it's built through from the quarterback up. He's got a really good grasp of this offense because this offense, if you don't put it in correctly, you can get bits and pieces of it, but this is not a bits and pieces type of a thing. This is a progressive offense that each part builds upon the other. Because there's so much that generates off of the ball handling and the way it comes off of this outside zone run and then the precision timing of the splits, where the routes are going to be. We've all watched them throw routes with stationary targets, where they will be after it's dispersed. So what I like is I like the progression platform I've watched with the teaching. And then in the ball game, and they still have not had their whole complete offensive unit on the field yet. What I do like and what I do see is, you know, I mean, and we've all seen it, and so have our listeners. This screen game is such a huge part of this offense. It's not just an afterthought. It is such an integral part of this, and it's such a timing part of it. And that's the hardest thing to get down timing-wise, those screens, because everybody is involved. You're talking about offensive linemen. You're talking about receivers. You're talking about quarterbacks. Everything is involved in the timing of those screens. And, you know, for a team to be a good screen team, you have to be convicted and committed to it as an organization. And it has to be something you do every day. And it has to be something that you drill in the offensive line room. It has to be. It can't be an afterthought. It's not with this group. You can see that. I like that. And then in practice, what I like to see, I can see where these pieces are starting to come together of Because in this offense, you have to have somebody that can clear things out. You have to have somebody that can run those dig or dagger routes. When I talk about those are 12 to 14-yard routes across the middle of the field. And you also have to have the timing out of condensed formations of what I call TRCs or transcontinentals from one side of the formation to the other. That is huge. And you also have to have a back that can disperse from the backfield, either pre-snap or post-snap, and be a legitimate route-running threat in the passing game.
What's the toughest thing if you had to pick one to time up?
Screens.
Yeah.
Screens. The screens are the toughest ones to time up because everybody is involved on the move. Everybody is involved on the move. You know, your timing patterns, you know, as far as off your play action stuff, you know, your linemen are stationary, okay? But the screens, because everybody, Paul, is involved with timing with that.
Is there a defensive player that can disrupt the screen game most?
Absolutely, and it's going to surprise you. The first player that can disrupt a screen the most,
the defensive end,
is the defensive tackle.
Mm.
Because you pull the guard. If you're going to pull the guard, because they if you guys watch screens, a lot of them they'll preset, they'll try to short set the guard, and then they'll try to throw him inside. You know, the defensive tackle, the guard will try to throw him inside and then release. You've got a defensive tackle, especially a three technique that can read that, or you've got a shade that can read that and then flatten out. They're the ones that can get in the middle of it first. Now, you've got to have, and anybody that plays a screen, and I'm going to start getting technical here, defensively, you always want to have a force, which is from the outside end, to knock it back to everybody else. You got to have a cap force, which means it's a force coming from the top down, and then everybody else is running hit, okay? So if you don't get it forced and you don't force it back to the other 10 people, then screens have got a chance. Now, but if you've got an interior defensive lineman that can read a screen really quick, he can disrupt it really fast.
That's fascinating.
Dave McGinnis in studio with us. It sounds like Big Ben will play tomorrow. And he's going to call his own plays, which I take to mean hurry up offense.
Yes.
Is that what we're going to see?
Yeah, and again, you know, he hasn't played. I mean, I know he had the concussion or the supposed anyway, he didn't play. He hasn't played yet. And so when he plays, you know he's not playing to hand it off. Okay. I mean, he's, you know, and he's gonna call his own plays because, you know, now Fichtner, the offensive coordinator now, was his quarterback coach. And so, you know, Ben will call it. I believe that when Roethlisberger's in the game, he will call the game. He will,
okay,
himself. I think he will call the game, and I think we'll see some up-tempo stuff out of it, and then he'll be spinning it around the lot, which is a great, great work. It's going to be really good work for the units that go against him. It really is.
What do you think about Josh Dobbs and his chances of staying with that team? They draft Mason Rudolph. They've got Landry Jones there also. He's played a lot in the preseason. I don't know what that really means for him. He's looked pretty good at times, but what do you make of him as a quarterback and his chances sticking there?
Well, Chad, and I agree with you. I've watched, you know, some of their stuff. He's played pretty well. I mean,
he's made some really good deep throws.
No, he's done a decent job. Now, nobody's going to keep four quarterbacks, right?
No.
And you draft Rudolph, you know, where you drafted him. I mean, he's going to be on that football team, okay? And so what Dobbs is probably doing for himself right now, I mean, when you're playing preseason games, you're auditioning for everybody. But I think what he's done is he's done himself some favors, you know, out there by what he's put down on tape. What he's laid down on tape in the preseason so far, I think he's helped himself.
Is there here's a behind-the-scenes aspect of this I don't think fans think about enough, and that is that the pressure on trainers and physicians this time of year. Do they face the most pressure they will all season right now?
Well, I don't think it's pressure, it's not pressure. And I, you know, because they do their job, and they need to be able to do their job independently of any type of pressure. They're just trying to have the players be healthy and on whatever the player's body's time frame is. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
there is no pressure. Because if you're running it right, there is no pressure. Because if there's pressure, well, then clearly you're trying to get them out there on the field before they're ready to play. And if that's the case, you know.
But not only getting them back, but maintaining them when they're out there.
Well, now,
monitoring everything.
The maintenance part of it starts clear back in the before the OTAs start. The maintenance part of it, hopefully it starts that your players have a program that they're going through. The days are gone when players come into camp to get into shape. Mm-hmm. So all of that maintenance part of it, but to your point, and it's a valid point, and that's an organizational thing, and that's why it's so critical to have top medical people, but really your training staff, your strength staff, all of the, all of those things have to be. And now, nowadays, with all the catapult system and all the numbers that we have, which are very valuable. I mean, when you look at them, I mean, it's pretty incredible, because as a coach, you used to just go by a feel. This guy looks like his legs are tired. This guy, now you got, but you have to all be on the same page.
Coach Dave McGinnis has been with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plan.